I'd like to begin this evening by expressing my thanks to God, first of all, and also to this great congregation, its wonderful minister, to the Simmons and the elders, leadership, for considering me. It's an honor to be a part of your great lectureship. I realize that we got a limited amount of time to speak, and that's one of the problems that I've been dealing with longer than Moses was in the wilderness. Yes, indeed, it's difficult. I said some time ago to some of the brethren that there is a blessing that every gospel preacher can receive if he can meet the qualifications. And the blessing is, blessed are the brief, for they shall be invited back. So I may not get that blessing, but I'm really up against it. Brother told me I have about how many 30? I think he's 37 minutes, and if he comes up, that means it's all over. I must come down. Oh, whew, that's great. That's great. Now, when given this subject, I know it's a very serious one, and I've been doing a lot of study. I'll be the first to admit, to acknowledge that what I'm going to talk about tonight, I had to do a lot of research. It will not be original. Much that I say will not be original. I often say that I had to milk quite a few cows to get the milk for this lesson. And about the only thing that'll be original be the cream that I make. The cream will be mine. So we want to get into this lesson. We're going to consider it. Faith and works. This is a lectureship, and in a lectureship I try to stay with my points. I can't do much wandering around, and so therefore I don't call myself preaching, it's just lecturing. I'm going to try to do that tonight. Faith and works. Now, I'm sure that you realize, as the brother has already said, that there was a great error that's being preached about faith, isolating it from works. Faith only is said to be, by the Methodist discipline, faith only is a most wholesome doctrine, they say, and very full of comfort. But when you check the scriptures, that doctrine, faith only, is not wholesome. It's not wholesome, and it's full of error. But we want to try, in this short period of time we have, to give you just some ideas of how to understand faith and works, and how that they work together. One of the problems is that when Paul talks about works, he says, for example, in Romans 3:28, for we hold that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Then James comes in, and James says in James 2:24, you see that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. So it seemed like Paul said we are justified by faith, and then James said we are justified by works. Now, that's not a contradiction between James and Paul. They were both inspired men. The contradiction and the misunderstanding come from uninspired men, men that have a pet theory, this theory that we are saved by faith only. One brother called it the faith only, called it the faith only folly. That's a good way to describe it, because it is error, but it's quite popular, and the religious world really goes for that. But we know the truth, that the Bible nowhere teaches that we're saved by faith only. Matter of fact, the only place we find where faith only is mentioned is in the book of James 2 and verse 24. By works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now, that's plain enough for anybody to see. But how could men get so far from it and then try to make faith be the only thing it takes to be saved or be justified before God? I stand here tonight to tell you that the problem is not with James and Paul. They do not contradict each other. They were both inspired men. But what you have to do is just a little bit of study to find out that what they said, one said we're justified by faith, another said we're justified by works, is not a contradiction. You just need to look into that just a little bit, and you can understand what Paul and James had in mind. As you know, this doctrine of faith only, it mainly originated, I believe, with Martin Luther. He added that to the Word of God in his commentary in the book of Romans. He says that we're saved, justified by faith, but he added the word only. That's where the error comes in. That changed the whole complexion of a thing. You can add one word and ruin a thing like the devil did. And it's devilish to add to the Word of God just to get a pet theory over. And of course, I didn't talk with our wonderful recorders over there, but I think it's all right to say amen. I could use amen every now and then. Brother Keeble used to say, don't put the preacher in the ice box and then expect him to sweat. We need to. If I'm going to sweat, I want it to be behind some amens. Nothing wrong with saying amen and let the people know that you agree with it. That's all it means, amen. And that's a good word. And some of us in the church are about to run it out of style. We're trying to replace amen with clapping. That's a whole nother subject. But anyway, amen is good enough for me. All right, now, what's the problem here? When Luther read this in James 2:24, that just ruined his theory of salvation by faith alone. It was just like somebody taking a hand grenade and drop it in the midst of a place, drop it in the midst of his thinking, and it just blew things all to pieces because he felt that a man is justified by faith only, and what James said was just the opposite. So he tried to discredit James. He suggested that James' work was a straw epistle, whatever that is. It wasn't genuine, and maybe it's something that James got up, but it didn't have any right to be numbered among the New Testament canon of scriptures. But I believe James, any time over Luther and all others who believe that salvation or justification before God is by faith only. We want to look into that and see just where faith and works, how they blend in. Well, the first thing that I want to call your attention to is that we got to get rid of this mindset, this false idea. There's nothing for you to do except receive Christ as your Savior. And the moment you receive Him, you're saved, and then you work because you are saved, and not work to be saved. I beg to differ there. I believe that there is some work that a person has to do in obtaining salvation. I really believe that. And I think we need to explain to the audience what this faith is that you really have, the part where this work is that you really have to do. But they have this idea that it just takes faith only. And they put faith and works at war with one another. So we got to get rid of that idea that faith and works are working against one another. And that criticizing works and emphasizing faith. Now, faith and works, they go together. They are tied together. And those who separate it are doing something that the Word of God forbids. It's instead of the James and Paul and what they teach on faith and works being contradictory, it's really complementary. We get people to see that they work together. Faith and works do not contradict. Faith and works complement each other. In Galatians 5:6, the Apostle Paul talking about faith working right there. Faith that worketh by love. You see, they run together. They are not contradictory. The thing that's got people messed up, these false ideas that men have. They got the idea that it's not by any kind of works. And if you do anything in order to gain it, then you are working for it and you can't gain it. But I don't see how they got that far off. I thought about the blind man today, that at the pool of Siloam, and Jesus told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam so he could see. And he went there, he had faith in Christ, and he went there, and he washed, and he got his sight. I don't think he earned his sight by dipping. I don't think so. I think that his obedient faith, his working, doing what faith required him to do, is why he got his sight. But back to this thing, we want you to see. Start thinking in this term. Faith and works do not contradict one another. They complement one another. Faith and works do not exclude each other. They include each other. James 2:22 says, by works, faith is made perfect. You see how they blend together? Faith needs work to live, and they got to have one another. Faith without works is dead. So this idea that faith stands apart and is exclusive and excludes work is a false idea. They are bound together. What little time I have here tonight, I want to show you that unity that they have, and I want to show you why so many people are confused about faith and works, making work not very important, but faith everything. None of the writers of the entire Bible ever taught that faith only was sufficient to please God. Wherever you find faith, you're going to find works if it pleases God. I challenge any man to find where you can do something that God wants you to do and just do it by faith and don't complete the work. That's like going to a doctor and you said, I like this doctor. I got all the confidence in the world in him. I got faith in that doctor. Well, I got some news for you. If that doctor gives you a prescription and tell you some medicine that you need to take, I don't care how much faith you have in that doctor. If you don't go on and take his medicine, that's the work part. If you don't take that, then that doctor can't do you no good. Thought I'd give me amen on that. Okay, now. All right, then. And I'm going to get a point down here, too. It's going to be pretty serious, and I hope you don't miss your amen at that point. Y'all be able to tell where that come in at. But anyway, let's look at that faith and works. Why is there so much confusion and contradiction between the two? Well, I tell you, one of the reasons is that when Paul talked about works, about the works of the law, no flesh can be justified. And then James says Abraham was justified by works. Paul said he was justified by faith. Abraham said, and James said he was justified by works. That seemed like a contradiction. And that's what throws some people off. But my dear friends, I want you to know that there is no contradiction there. What you got to do is to look at the faith that Paul was talking about that excluded certain works, and look at the work that James was talking about that included, you know, something that Paul did not mention. See, what Paul condemned was worshiping and trying to please God by the law of Moses. That law had been taken out of the way. That's why Paul said in Galatians 3:6 that by the works of the law, no flesh can be justified. You can't be justified by the law of Moses because it required perfect obedience. And no man ever lived perfectly except Jesus Christ. And so the law of Moses, there's no salvation in that law. And that's why if you stay with it and try to follow the Old Testament system, you can never be saved. That kind of work will avail you nothing. Then there's another kind of work that Paul condemned, works of righteousness, which we have done, Titus, I think, 3:5. That is things that you think of yourself. No man can come up with a plan to save himself or justify himself apart from God. We're just not smart enough. We cannot think above God. And doing your own thing, you just can't make it. That's why Paul in Romans 12:1 said, brethren, my heart desire, prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They're being ignorant of God's righteousness. Now, that's the righteousness you need to get your eye on, God's righteousness. And what do they do with God's righteousness? They turn from God's righteousness and then try to be saved by righteousness of their own. Now, you cannot be saved by your own works. It's nothing that you can do out of your own mind that can make you justified before God. That kind of work Paul condemned. He also, as I said, he condemned trying to rely on the law of Moses. But there is a work. And that's the work that people are overlooking you must do in order to be saved. It's sort of like what Peter said in Acts, I believe it was 10:34. Peter said, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation, he that worketh righteousness. Oh, there's a work. He that works righteousness will be accepted. There's a work that you must do that God would have you to do. If you don't do it, you cannot be accepted. It's not the law of Moses because that law has no power to save you, no salvation in that. It's not what we think of because man's thoughts do match up with God and you can't think of a way that's better than God's way. It's the way that pleases God is this righteousness, his own righteousness. And what I describe God's righteousness is something that God out of his own mind, decided that you needed to do before he can justify you, and you're not justified until you do it. That's what the righteousness of God does. It makes you do what God told you to do in order to be saved. God had not told us to follow the law of Moses to be saved. He makes it clear in the scripture that doing your own thing, you cannot be saved. But there is a work that you must do. It's the works of righteousness that God commands us to do. And so when you get that clear in your mind, Paul condemned works of the flesh. He condemned the law of Moses, but then James came along and let us know that there is a work that we must follow. And of course, that's the work of doing what the Lord commanded us to do in order to be saved. Now, one of the reasons people get so confused over this matter, they have help from false teachers. Some people are so hung up and they got their mind preset that it's by grace or faith on. I'm going to stay off of grace. Had a hard time staying off of it, but I've got another great preacher coming up to deal with that. But to say faith only. And they find a scripture that mentions faith without mentioning works. And they say, see, it's faith. But I tell you what, if you want to be tricky with the Word of God, if you just want, you're not in it to get the understanding and try to clear it up and clear up the doubt as to whether faith and works work together. If you just want your own way, you can find it, because if you're dishonest enough, you can find it. I heard a story one time about a little boy. He wanted to go swimming real bad. He went down to the swimming pool, the city-owned swimming pool, and guess what he saw? He saw a sign up there that just ruined his swimming thoughts. It says, pool closed. No swimming today. Oh, he didn't want to hear that. He wanted to swim. He kept looking at that, and you know, next thing you know, he was in there swimming. And one of the officers came by and said, boy, what are you doing in there swimming? He said, didn't you see that sign? He said, yes, I saw it. And you still got in there? Yeah, I saw it. Didn't you see that sign that said, pool closed, no swimming today? He said, yeah, I saw it. He said, why did you get in there? The way I saw it, it said, pool closed? No. Swimming allowed. So if a man wants to bad enough to see faith only in those scriptures that mention faith, we're saved by faith, and Acts 10:34, we have remission of sins by faith, by believing. He'd get enough of them together and just cancel out, he tried, those that says that salvation is through works. But that's not handling the Word of God properly. And that's misusing the Word. And one of the things, if I can't get anything else over, because my time may get away from me, but this is what I want you to do. Whenever you're studying faith and works, and what part they play in your salvation or justification before God, don't make the error of trying to find as many scriptures that mentions faith, but does not mention work. And say, see, it mostly says faith. It doesn't make any difference how many times it says faith. And if it just said work one time, that's enough. But you don't stack one scripture up against the other. Because there's one thing that I found out about the New Testament, that sometimes it talks in some figurative language, and figurative expressions are used in order to teach lessons. For example, now this is a big word, and I don't like to fool with them. Brother Keeble taught me not to be messing with them too big of words. But I got this one. Reason so many people think that faith is superior to the work, and that if you just got faith, then don't worry about the work. That'll take care of itself. Is because they don't know this figure of speech. There's a figure of speech called a synecdoche. Now that's, y'all quiet on that, and I can understand that, because some of you may not even know what that is. I just barely know. But there is such a thing as a synecdoche. And a synecdoche is simply a part being spoken for the whole. You just only hear part of it, but the whole of it is more than just what you heard in the part. Now here's a biblical synecdoche. And I believe it is in Exodus 15:1. It tells us about when Pharaoh's army was destroyed, and they were saying this, and perhaps singing this song, that Pharaoh, the horse and his rider, were thrown into the sea. One horse is mentioned and a rider. Somebody run over there and say, oh, there wasn't but one man killed in that destruction of Pharaoh's army, and only one chariot. That's a synecdoche. When it says that the horse and the rider, that meant all the horses. And all the riders and chief captains, just a few verses below, in the 4th and 5th verses, it says Pharaoh's chariot, his captains, and the host what is straw. That's no contradiction when one rider says a horse and chariot and the other one says the host. The horse and chariot one was a synecdoche. It was understood when he said horse and chariot. It wasn't just talking about the two. He's talking about all the others. Now, if you don't understand me, you look like you don't follow me. I better come on here with my brother Keeble type of thing. A synecdoche in simple words is like this. Suppose I told you that I went fishing yesterday, and I had Clifford, my wonderful young worker, with me, and Clifford, and I said, Clifford, look at this. And they won't believe me, but I caught a 75-pound catfish with a cane pole. Now, you know what? That's a synecdoche. Anybody here would think that I meant that I caught it with pole only? Just with a naked pole I caught him? Well, I didn't mention nothing but the cane pole. I didn't mean pole alone. I got you now. I didn't mean pole alone. When I say I caught it with a cane pole, it's understood that there was a line on that pole, and there was a hook on the pole, there was a sinker on the pole, and there was some bait on the pole, but I said I caught him with the pole. That pole was the synecdoche, and all that other stuff was understood. Come on here now. Let me get where you ladies, me and maybe the ladies and fish, let me get some of the ladies really can go along with it. Suppose the sister took some mighty fine biscuits. Everybody talking about, ooh, sister, these biscuits you cook, they are so good. I said, tell me how you made them. She said, well, I made these biscuits with plain flour. I made them with plain flour. Or she might get them in Pillsbury flour. Do you think she meant flour only? Would you like to eat some biscuits the lady cooked with nothing in it but some flour? But that's all she said. I cooked these biscuits with flour. But that's a synecdoche. There were other things that went in it. When she said about cooking biscuits, you know, with flour, that meant at least there was some buttermilk, perhaps, and some shortening. And you'll have to help me, sisters, with this. All that stuff you got to have. Not only a little shortening, maybe a little baking powder. All that was in that when she said flour. But she didn't say only. When you go to saying only, you're going to mess the whole thing up. That's the way the denominational world has done, where the Bible says we are saved by faith. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, who is to believe in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Says, see, it's just to believe. Believe on the Lord. Acts 16:31, say, believe on the Lord. And baptism, that's what they're trying to shoot down. It's a work. And you can't be saved by being baptized. That's a work. But that's the work of righteousness. That's not a work of the law. Baptism was not given by the law of Moses. And you can't come up with your own baptism. I know men are not going to come up with no baptism. They don't like it enough. They want to be saved dry anyhow. But it's a work of God. That's what Christ commanded. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so what happens, my friend? They want to pick certain part of it. And whatever the Bible says, we're saved by faith. It means all the other things. We're saved by faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. It takes all of that in there. You go to, are you following me? You understand that. First thing you want to do before you find something that seems like that pleases your theology. Well, you run off with it, you say, I'm going to check and see if this is a synecdoche, because somebody can embarrass me. They come up there, there's more in this that's being said there. And that's why so many people are misled and think that faith overruns work, and that work it just doesn't come up to it, and you cannot be saved doing works. I wish I had the time to deal with that works business, because actually the work that the Bible is talking about is the work of God's righteousness. You see, God's got a righteousness. Man's got one, doing what he thinks is all right. And then there's the old law of Moses. That was a righteousness. The law of Moses has been taken out of the way. Cannot be saved by that law. And you can't do enough to earn your salvation your own way. Forget it. But there is a work that you have to do in order to be saved. And of course, the one they fight, they even fight, so baptism is a work. Well, what kind of work? Is the work of Moses, the law of Moses commanded? Did you command it? If you did, you don't have no authority. It's the work that Christ commanded us to do. And I think the one that commanded the work ought to be respected enough to do what he says. And if he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, who am I to say, well, cut the baptism out? That's a work. Well, faith is a work. Don't get off into that. John 6:29, that's made very clear about works, Jesus said, or the writer that says, that this is the work of God, that you believe on Jesus Christ whom God sent. Now there's a work there. What is that work? What is the work of God? Is it for God to do, to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? No, you don't have to do that. Is it for Christ to believe that he is the Son of God? No. Somebody got to do some work. And whose work is it? And whatever you do, that's the work of belief. Belief is a work. And what do you do? It's for us to believe. So work, my friend. Even faith is a work. Repentance is a work. Jesus said the people of Nineveh rose up and repented at the preaching of Jonah. Jesus said they repented. Then you go over there to the third chapter of the book of Jonah. It says that those people, what did they do by way of repenting? It says they turned from their evil works. Repentance, my friend, requires work. You can't be saved without repentance, but that's a work. You can't be saved without baptism. That's a work. You can't be saved by faith only, because faith is a work. Come on now, let me. You missed the amen. Now you should have caught that a little bit earlier. You missed that one. But anyway, I'm just showing you the beauty of it. And so then, as we get closer to the end of our argument, I'm making arguments like this. First of all, get that sentimentality and that idea in your head that they contradict. And they cooperate together. And then on top of that, remember that when the Bible says more, mention one of the things, faith more than it does work, it does not mean that work is not as important as faith. They are bound together. And you cannot have one and please God without the other. I've never read from Genesis to Revelation where God was ever pleased with faith without it expressing itself in works. And the gift and the reward comes after your faith, my friend, and exercises itself in works. You don't get the reward and then do something else because you're following the faith. That's confusing. Let us keep it just like the scriptures teach it. So as we look near the end of this line of reasoning, righteousness of God, righteousness and faith, how that they blend together. Faith without works, as we say, is dead. Some people say, well, I can go into heaven on faith only. It's only faith. Well, I tell you what. As James said in James 2:24 and also 26, faith without works is dead. If you go to heaven on faith only, you go to heaven on a dead faith. And any person that can go to heaven on faith only, a dead faith, then this evening I won't have to ride with Clifford, who brought me down here. I could ride a dead horse to Houston. Can I? If I can't ride a dead horse to Houston, you can't ride dead faith to heaven. What is dead faith? Faith separated from works. They go together. It's not this idea, faith or works. It's not the idea of that. It's faith and works. They are bound together. God's commands must be obeyed. And when you do what God said, don't be worried about saying, well, you be careful now if you go to get that, all that you earn in your faith. Listen, whenever you do what God told you to do, like he said, do it. His word said, do it, and you do what he said. When you get through, I don't care if he says stand on your head. Whatever he said, when you get through, you got nothing to boast of because you didn't even think of it. You didn't have to think of the plan. You don't have no power to back it up. So when you do what God says, don't worry about the work that you're doing there conflicting with saved by faith and not by works. That works that you're not saved by is the work of human invention. Like Jesus said in Matthew 15:14, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You cannot be saved by the doctrines of men. You cannot be saved by the old law, because you'd have to live perfect to try to even argue your case. And only Jesus lived perfectly. So then one other kind of work that you got to do. And this one, James commended. What Paul condemned was not what James commended. James commended faith and works. And Paul condemned works that do not pertain to the faith of the New Testament. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He's not ashamed of it. It's the power of God unto salvation. And not only it says that, but it also talks about that this faith is the righteousness of God. God's righteousness requires some work. And when you do what God said, like God said it, then don't worry about it. It's still a blessing. You can't. And sometimes they get so tangled up, they say, well, now the Bible says it's a gift. And you cannot work for a gift. That sounds so reasonable. Jesus prayed. He told us how to pray. He said, pray this. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus was telling them that as for your bread, that's a gift. Yet the Apostle Paul said, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. You can work for a gift. Especially when you get through with it, you can't boast. You can't boast. It's too much that God had to do with it for you to boast. I'm trying to touch all of these bases. Let me say this. I better wrap this up because I know I got some things up here. If I got into it, would take more time to try to explain it. So I don't want to stir up more dust than I can settle. I'd like to be able to hang around here and settle it. And so, and of course, if I can't, I don't have to worry about it. But Rodriguez, he'll settle the dust for us because he knows that book. And so let me say this. The best place anybody thinks that you can be saved by faith alone or work alone, leave that out. It's not saved by faith alone or work alone. It's saved by both of them together. Both of them together. Heard a story once about a man. He invited some of his friends over to dinner. When he got ready to serve, he began to talk to him. He talked to one man that was there, and he stuttered when he was talking about what he had to serve. He said to this friend, I got two kind of meat. You know how to do with this stuff. Not making fun of it, but say I got turkey and I got ham. Say, which one do you want? He didn't know that the man he was talking to stuttered too. So the man he was talking to stuttered and said, well, I want both. And said, what are we saved by, faith only or works only? Both. Thank you. Better let you have it now. We could say more, but we'll let you have it on that. Thank you.